All right, welcome to January 7th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. So I've been talking for the last few days about possibly changing the name of the show, in addition to some of the other changes that I'm making to it. And I'm just having a heck of a time trying to come up with a name, actually. This is where your help would be appreciated. Should I leave the name the way it is? Should I just shorten it to Joe's Daily U.S. History? Or maybe name it to Joe's Daily U.S. History Nugget? U.S. History Insights by Joe? Joe's U.S. History Muses? U.S. History Flashes? I don't know. What do you think? Or do you have a better one? I'm hoping you do. Let me know on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thank you very much for that. And now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, and put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to Millard Fillmore. Nikola Tesla dies in a hotel. And LA Laker news. All right, so now here I go. 1800. Happy birthday, Millard the Wool Carter President Fillmore. Born in a log cabin at a small farm in upstate Cayuga County, New York, to a poor family, Millard was the second of eight children. His father, trying desperately to make ends meet, apprenticed young Millard to a wool carder, which borderlined on slavery. After he finished his apprenticeship, Millard was free to go and walked 100 miles back home. From there, he taught himself how to read and was admitted to the New Hope Academy, where he studied law, met his future wife Abigail Powers, one of his teachers actually, and in 1823, he was admitted to the bar and began law practice. 7 years later, he moved his practice to Buffalo. In 1928, he began the first of three terms serving on the New York State Assembly, then was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. He was chosen to run on the Whig ticket to vice president under Mexican-American war hero Zachary Taylor, and they defeated Democratic Senator Lewis Cass. Taylor and Fillmore did not actually meet until after the election, and when they did, it didn't exactly go well, as the two men were polar opposites. As vice president, Fillmore had little control and simply presided over the Senate, who spent months of really, really tense debates over Henry Clay's Compromise of 1850. Publicly, Fillmore kept his opinion to himself, but privately told Taylor that should there be a vote on the bill, he would vote in favor of it. Then, Zachary Taylor passed away rather unexpectedly, possibly from cholera, and Fillmore was suddenly ascended to president. Now that Millard, His Excellency Fillmore, was in charge of the White House, Taylor's entire cabinet resigned, and Fillmore appointed Daniel Webster to be Secretary of State, thus declaring his alliance with the moderate pro-compromise Whigs. Fillmore sided with Democratic Senator Stephen Douglas for the compromise, which admitted California to the Union as a free state, granted territorial status to New Mexico, abolished slavery in Washington, D.C., and contained Webster's Solid Fugitive Slave Act that put federal officers at the disposal of slave owners trying to regain their runaway slaves. This compromise of 1850 defined Fillmore's presidency. Meanwhile, at the White House, Fillmore did not drink, gamble, or smoke, was 6 feet tall, and was a founding member of the Buffalo chapter of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Abigail arranged a purchase of the White House's first cooking stove, but the cook apparently couldn't figure out how to use it, and neither did anyone else. So, Millard himself supposedly went to the U.S. Patent Office, found the patent to the stove, read it, and went back to the White House and instructed the cook how to work the stove. In 1851, the Library of Congress burnt down, and Millard was there, along with his cabinet, trying to fight the blaze. In foreign affairs, President Fillmore dispatched Commodore Matthew C. Perry to open Japan to Western trade, kept Hawaiian Islands from European powers, namely Napoleon III of France. He improved relations with Mexico and refused to back Southerners who wanted to invade Cuba and expand slavery in Latin America. This, along with the Fugitive Slave Act, made Fillmore very unpopular in the South. it became apparent that the Compromise of 1850 turned out to be nothing more than an uneasy truce between the North and the South. The Whig Party began to crumble, and Fillmore refused to join the emerging Republican Party. So instead, in 1856, he accepted the nomination for president of the Know-Nothing or American Party. He came in a woeful third place in the presidential election, following Winfield Scott and Franklin Pierce. Pierce won the election, and during his inauguration, Abigail caught a severe cold and died less than a month later. Throughout the Civil War, Fillmore opposed President Lincoln, even though Lincoln and Mary Todd stayed at Fillmore's mansion during Lincoln's inauguration. Fillmore supported President Johnson during the Reconstruction, then died in 1874. Quote, "The man who can look upon a crisis without being willing to offer himself upon the altar of his country is not fit for public trust," Fillmore once said in 1850. He also said this, "It is better to wear out than rust out," which I suppose is an old-fashioned way of saying it's better to burn out than to fade away. Happy birthday, Millard! 1943, Tesla dies at the New Yorker Hotel. World War II raged on, and the man who invented wireless technology, radio guidance systems, encryption, and remote-controlled robots, according to Tesla's biographer Mark Cipher, was possibly coming up with a death ray gun that could be used to kill the enemy. He was found dead on this day in 1943 at age 86, and right away, his work was confiscated by the U.S. Office of Alien Property. What was in those paperwork seized? Well, in accordance with the 2016 Freedom of Information Act, the FBI declassified some 250 Tesla and Tesla-related files. Several weeks later, Dr. John G. Trump, the uncle of President Trump, a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Tech, was tasked with reviewing some of Tesla's files. Dr. Trump was very distinguished at MIT, helped to design X-ray machines for cancer research, as well as radar research for the military. After evaluating the papers on the death ray and this particle beam itself, Dr. Trump gave his report. Tesla's papers are, and I paraphrase, full of theory and ideas and do not include any new sound workable principles or methods for realizing such results. However, according to Cipher, Tesla's papers were also given to Brigadier General C.C. Craigie at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, and they stated that the particle beam is, in fact, real. Cipher's book, Wizard, The Life and Times of Nikola Tesla, goes into more detail about how much the military actually tested his technology. Tesla's estate, meanwhile, in Yugoslavia, went on to his nephew, which is now a museum. Cipher points out that the military uses Tesla's technologies to this day, which should not come to anybody as a surprise.
And so that, my friends, is going to wrap up January 7th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what your take is on today's episode. For instance, is there anything you care to add to that story about Millard Fillmore? Or what's the most fun you've ever had with a particle beam? Let me know what your take is. And also, while you're on the website, take a gander at some of the multiple choice questions. I hope you're as entertained taking the test as I was making it. Let me know how you do on that. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about Nicholas Biddle, Marvin's Magical Museum, and Jay Abraham. So don't miss that. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.